Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Ernest, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, the real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Talk about Netflix, what they do with Netflix.
Yeah, so Netflix has a decision to make, and I guess they'll make it by tomorrow. But pretty much Russia has put a spotlight on them saying, listen, if you're not going to spread our shows and I guess our propaganda, we're going to ban you from the country. Mm-hmm. So for Netflix, I feel like it's a pretty easy decision. If even just from a subscription standpoint, you got 1 million subscribers in Russia. I mean, you lose 1 million there.
Yeah, it won't matter.
It's not gonna, you know, it's not gonna change.
Dropping the bucket.
Yeah, it's not gonna change the scale of the business. But that's interesting. Like, they're looking at a streaming service. Like, mm-hmm. Listen, this is, hey, we're gonna put this sanction on you. Like, okay.
Well, what is important to play? See, now, what Russia does have in its favor is natural resources, mainly oil.
Oil. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So even being out here, they were saying like the prices of gas could double if once they cut the pipeline off from Russia. But now this puts OPEC in even more of a, you know, prime position to really manipulate the market however they want. So I want to ask Jessica about oil, but first, gold. I talked to you about this. What's the relationship between gold and wars in times of uncertainty?
Gold, precious metals, platinum, all precious metals, platinum, silver, gold, all of them. You need to buy them when there's war. Now, in the foreign exchange market, you definitely want to be careful with your entries, all right? Because right now, gold shot up. Literally, when they declared war, gold literally shot all the way up, and it hit that negative 61.8. Now I'm expecting a pullback, all right? I'm expecting a pullback up until probably the end of this week, and then I'm expecting it to rise higher for sure. I wish I had my charts.
Yeah, and the market's going to do a dead cap out, which means
it's like,
there they are.
Right there. I know. Point them out. This level, like, right? But yeah, if gold shoots back up, of course, the market is going to taper up and then push back down, which is called a dead cap bounce. We talked about it before.
Yeah.
So you can play those two in tandem.
Just tell anybody that's new, just explain what a dead cap bounce is.
It's just when a market shoots up really fast. So, like, if I go to Rucker and I score 58 points, I'm not scoring 58 the second. So my average is going to drop down. So the Dow is going to peak up really high, and then it'll slide back down, same with S&P 500, and then gold will take off. Also, you got to look at the volatility index. So if we get back to a level of like around 39, 44, that's where the market will start to top at. But we're at 31 now. It has room to push up. And I know Russia or Vitalik said he doesn't back them, but you have to look and see what percentage of Bitcoin does Russia own, more than 20%. Google how much Ethereum they own. Scary.
I mean, that's even interesting because Bitcoin, right? The Ukrainian government, they've been receiving funds through Bitcoin. And so people have been sending a Bitcoin as a way for them to help them help themselves.
Yeah.
Was it like cryptocurrency is now a play in this?
I can make an argument that through supporting some of these coins, you are funding terrorism.
Funny you say that, because on the flip side, so 19 Keys put a post up. I just actually was looking at it right before this, and he was saying how somebody from Ukraine, let me actually read it so I don't misquote it. So he took a quote, like a screenshot of somebody that was is in Ukraine, who tweeted something. He said, "My Ukrainian credit cards don't work anymore. I'm safe physically in Kazakhstan, but all my savings are gone. Crypto is the only money I still have. And today I can say without any hesitation, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and NFT are going to save my life while I can't come back home." And so that's interesting because 19 Keys had posted it, and he was saying how, you know, cryptocurrency, you know, the fall of the dollar and all of that stuff, and cryptocurrency is the only the wave, and this is something that, you know, moving forward, you can't stop it, and you know, the whole thing behind that. So it's interesting that you said that you're funding terrorism, because on the flip side, it's like this is the only thing that saved my life.
Even drug dealers in the hood gave out turkeys and do you think a man as smart as Putin would invade emotionally, when people in KGB or Russia are not that emotional, but it looks emotional? I don't think it's the main benefit, but if you can get control of the monetary system through crypto, and now this becomes a way to say, hey, you will have free access to your money and support, that will be a good initiative that he can then push if they then own a majority stake in crypto.
Yeah.
Like, the major assets that we invest in cannot be non-American. You're then funding your competition.
Yeah.
At that point,
it was interesting when we were studying crypto, like 2016, 2017, and I just pulled up the privacy coins, and I remember Monero.
And then
the knock on Monero was like, it was funding the Taliban. And it was funding like all these type of militias throughout the world, and nobody knew about it because it was untraceable, because it was a quote unquote privacy coin.
Yeah.
And so now they hear that these actual cryptos, like Bitcoin, are actually helping fund a war. On the other side that is defending themselves, it's like, this is pretty interesting. Like, stuff, like, it's funny how these things go in circles.
Can I ask you guys a question? Would you personally fund a non-EYL podcast monthly?
No.
Then why, as Americans, will we fund a non-American coin, a non-American company?
Well, to play devil's advocate, if you can say funding American companies can be detrimental also. Like you could say you could be funding detrimental things that's happening in the world by supporting the American dollar or supporting this X, Y, and Z company in the stock exchange. Like, you know,
that's true in prison systems and stuff like
that. Prison systems.
Yeah, I agree.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. It's not like every country has a clean slate.
Or every company.
I agree.
Huh?
Or even every company.
I agree. Has a clean slate. There is no clean company post $2 billion, right? But
that's the number?
Yeah, post two.
After we get to two, everything there.
Yes.
They did something filthy.
Love you guys. But I think there's been a propaganda push to fund a lot of these companies that have non-American founders for an ulterior reason. And other, we've seen it here. Other countries are a lot more strategic than we are. Literacy is a lot higher. Like I was telling all the Black Brits here, I'm like, yeah, you guys are way more intelligent than most people I come across in the States. Like you guys are brilliant. So if they're thinking 5, 10, 15 year horizon, and Putin has wanted his revenge for 15 years, this isn't new. He didn't wake up 2 weeks ago and be like, God, now I want war.
Right.
We have to be very careful of the things that we fund.
Speaking of geopolitical things, Jessica, you said something before where you said like how as stock guys, we watch company earnings. Mm-hmm. And you was like, you watch the news for like news report. Like, that's kind of like the company earnings is like what's happening on, like, can you talk about that?
Yeah, so our economic indicators that we primarily look at, we look at GDP, consumer price index, producer price index, all pretty much like the same things that you guys look at, but we
can
look
at— Can you
say
those again?
We got time, Jess.
So shout out to
Dream
Team, because we trade those in a bond market,
and— I'm trying to type it.
So Mike, clip this up. What are the four major indicators?
Okay, so our four major economic indicators, we look at gross domestic product.
Yes.
All right. We look at consumer price index and producer price index. So how much are consumers spending? How much are producers producing pretty much, right? We look at non-farm payroll. That's a big one.
It comes out
on the first Friday of every single month. Gives us a big, big, big understanding on unemployment, employment, how many jobs were added to the market. But that's how we make most of our money. So when we look at, like, we look at everything from a macroeconomic level when it happens in different economies. Now, non-farm payroll is only a U.S.-based economic indicator, but we do look at GDP of, like, let's say, Great Britain. Mm-hmm. I trade GBP USD, which is Great British Pound versus U.S. dollar, Great British Pound versus Japanese yen, which is GBP JPY. I trade them the most. And then I also trade XAU USD, which is that gold that we were just talking about. Those are the main ones that I look at. Now, you know how you guys tell people, okay, don't look at every single company, only pick a few. That's how it is with us in the foreign exchange market. You don't look at every single economy, right? It's a lot to look at. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're pairing two economies against one another.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at different economies, but I only trade GJ for the most part, GU and gold. So I'm always studying the Japanese yen economy, always Great Britain economy, and always the euros.
Fewer is better. So when I tell you guys trade the S&P 500 bond market, you're good. On the future side, 6B is a British pound. Once again, 6J is a Japanese yen. So if you pair them together, you'll be fine. But the fewer things you trade, the more you can master.
Because there's so much money to be made on an everyday basis in each of them. You don't have to trade. Well, I mean, you guys, companies, you don't have to look at every single company to make money. Me, I can make so much money just from, like this, like I said, the two to three trades a week.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
Mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.